This section that we're going to read now is the reading for the Feast of Pentecost. And what it means in a life that there may be all kinds of things that we can't even imagine take place over the next few months. So keep that in mind in terms of a people without any leadership spiritually. Not going around and saying this is what you should do, but leadership in that we live what we believe. And that's the rarest thing in the universe.
You know, it is interesting. You look on the horizon, they've all been shut down, the visible, quote-unquote, spiritual guys. You know, there's not a one standing except Billy Graham, and he's invisible.
Seen him.
Yeah. So there's nothing out there. That's wild.
Doing a Billy Sundays or, you know, any kind of a, you know, a real voice that people would hearken to. And
okay.
It is kind of weird.
Now, Isaiah 61. This is in the triennial cycle of readings. This is the reading that was done on Tabernacle. Either the first or the third, I can't remember which one it was. I think it's the third year. But anyway, but as you know, many of the scriptures are read on more than one occasion during the course of the year and in the course of the festival schedule. And so, and again, when we say the scriptures are read, what when I give you like the list on that memo of these are the scriptures for Pentecost, these are a collection of scriptures that rabbis at different stages say should be the reading for Pentecost.
But you said this is for Tabernacle. Did you say this is for Tabernacle or Pentecost?
It's for both.
In a triennial cycle of readings, in a three-year cycle.
Yeah.
Okay. This was read at Tabernacles.
Okay.
But as is with many other scriptures, it's read in a triennial cycle in its proper place, but it's also read numerous times during the course of the festival year. So this is read during the course of the year for Pentecost, okay? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste places, the old wastes. They shall rise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land shall they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. We have to start over again. I knew it. Excuse me. That was all part of the reading, but we didn't start early enough. We're starting Isaiah 60, verse 1. My mind is saying, what's going on here? We go Isaiah 60, verse 1, to Isaiah 62, verse 2. As the reading, okay? Last night we studied in Bananas the terrible crystal. When Crystal was here and we studied.
We had a laugh.
But living in the light of the terrible crystal. And what it means to walk in the light as he is in the light. And it's the idea that your new life in the Spirit is revealed in Ezekiel 1 and 2. And it's the wheel within the wheel and all that good stuff. And now this light that is going to be revealed unto all flesh on the Feast of Pentecost is what we now arise and shine, for our light has come. Okay? Now a description of that light and the fruit of that light is Ezekiel 1. It's not helicopters.
It's not Russian helicopters?
No. Can you believe all these poor guys that made their living talking about how the Soviet Union was going to invade?
Yeah. It's number five on the sleeves.
They probably go on with some interpretation.
Arise. Shine. For thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The word shine there is a better translated means to be enlightened, understand, be full of light. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy risings. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Now remember, Pentecost that's talked about in Acts chapter 2, there were probably more sons and daughters of Israel at that Pentecost than had any other Pentecost in history. Because they were there, for what reason? It was the Jubilee year. They were there, still there to get their land back. And so, This picture of Isaiah 60 is what Isaiah looked out of time and saw the Pentecost of Christ, of Paul. Now that's what we have to do. You understand? We can sit around and wait till the hell freezes over for our Pentecost. It's not going to come. It has already come. We have to repent our way into the Pentecost that has come, that is here, that is now. You understand? You can't wait.
Yeah.
You'll still be waiting, and you know, we've talked about before, I'm just waiting in the Lord, brother. Well, if you're just waiting in the Lord, you're going to die unless you have the mind of Christ.
So Pentecost is coming.
Pentecost is, and it was. Pentecost was and is come at this in Isaiah. See, Isaiah, this was 690 years before the Pentecost that did come. But it was still and is come, because there's only one place out of time.
Only one Pentecost.
There's only one Pentecost. Amen?
Yes.
Now, all the things happened on Pentecost whether it's the Tower of Babel or whether it's the giving of the law or whether it's the thing that happened there, all are just an expression of what will happen to you depending on where you are in the repentance scale. You got it? You must be beginning to say that nothing, the requirement, there is no requirement for anything to take place. The passage of time is not required for anything.
It's like the events that came or that happened in time were an expression of what had happened outside of time, which was eternal.
Right.
So the Tower of Babel showed it.
Right, it showed the condition.
Yeah.
It's like what we talked last night. Can you communicate with anybody? You've never communicated with one person in your entire life. There's no one that knows you. Why? Because your Pentecost thus far has been the Tower of Babel.
It's like each one of those things, I mean, at the one Pentecost, all those other things were there. Like you said, they were all there depending upon your frame. It was confusion if you were in Babylon. It was the law if you were, you know, a Pharisee.
You were in the wilderness.
You were in the wilderness.
And if you're in the world, you didn't even know what happened.
Froward has shown himself froward.
So conversely, then, when those other things, a believer would have seen, as Isaiah saw, he would have seen all those same things.
From the perspective of the mercy
seat. The one.
Amen. That's the only way to understand prophecy. Otherwise, I mean, you understand? Otherwise, you're going to say, oh my God, this is going to have to come about, and then Israel is going to have to do this, and then the 10 common nations, or the European common market is going to do that, and then Russia is going to come down here, and then you're going to have these wheels within the wheels, Russian helicopters coming over here, and there's going to be those other helicopters look like scorpions, and then there's...
And the challenge. And suddenly you've got the God of the universe bound by time and space.
Right. And then you trivialize the Holy One of Israel. You trivialize God into these ridiculous things. Now that's why people... I mean, have you ever had some like a friend like Brad Bailey or like a John Bloom before he became a believer? Ever had one of these guys like listen to like Dr. Ballroot or Hal Lindsey? Yeah. I start listening to this. They laugh him off the face of the earth. There's no leadership. Because all those people are doing is repeating and getting converts to their own false belief, because they don't believe anything. You understand that Tilton doesn't believe anything?
Yes.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't believe anything.
Even if he believes, he's not really believing anything.
Because believing is this. Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Now Isaiah saw this. Wow! And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up your eyes round about, and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Now, okay, remember we're going up to Jerusalem, right? Jerusalem is up on the hills, it's on the hills, the seven mountains, right? But now think of what this next thing says. Then thou shalt see and flow together. We're going to flow up the mountain if we believe this dispensationalism stuff. No, we're going to flow because time and space has lost their hold on us, and we're going to flow into the New Jerusalem together from all points in time and all points in space. Those who are hid with him flow into him. Therein is the church. Do you understand? It has nothing to do with this little petty bullshit. It's more real than, it's more sure. It doesn't depend on whether I believe it or not. It doesn't depend on whether you believe it or not. It's happening. We're in the process. You can feel it in your bones. We're flowing together into him from all places, from all times, from all conditions. And we all have to flow through the cross into the large place.
This thing you said about repenting into the Pentecost that already has come. There's things, pictures are breaking in my head, are showing up in my head. It's like when you talked about light, the idea that light is constant, and that means that in this hand there's as much light, it's always there, which is the way truth is. Truth is always there. And I'm thinking about water under pressure, like artesian water. If you poke a hole in the ground anywhere over artesian water, it's the same water with the same force, no matter where you do it. It's like wherever you step into God, wherever you repent, step out of time. Those are the pictures of it. Yeah.
And that's why we are one.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
We are 2,000 one.
Years ago.
Yeah, at this moment we are one with Abel. At this moment we are one with Gideon. At this moment we are one with Japheth. At this moment we are one with all the heroes of the faith. And with, more importantly, we are one because they were one with Jesus, and we are one with him. Mm-hmm. And it takes us totally out of the world. That's what the meaning of Pentecost is about. It's the recognition. It's causing this incredible mystery to break through this skull, that we see the light. And then we walk in that light as he is in the light. Then have we fellowship one with another. Not just in this little group of people, but we have fellowship with the Corinthians, and we have fellowship with the Bereans, and we have fellowship with those in Sardi, and we have fellowship with those in Thrace, and we have fellowship with those in Russia and China and Babylon and every place in the universe at every time. We're one with them now. That's the meaning of Pentecost. It's the seeing that we've entered into that incredible union. Now, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, and we are joined to the Lord on the day of Pentecost. That's why they saw the tongues of fire. It wasn't fire, it didn't just bounce, I'm going to go. Time was split above their heads, if we repent, time will split above our heads. God help anybody that's against us. God help the piss ants and perverts that are perverting this wonderful gospel of God into something that's dependent on their mealy little actions.
When you use Paul, I was thinking about thing, I guess it's Revelation, but there's a great cloud of witnesses. If you're witnessing God, you're witnessing the things he's doing, you're witnessing the same in every place, and it wouldn't be.
That's why it says,
wouldn't be time dependent upon any other thing. You could still see, you know, liars as liars and fornicators the same way that they saw them then. It'd be the same.
This thing shine, thy light shine, there's only one light.
it's you know, it's this. That's why the exhortation is, "I wrote unto you, fathers, because you've been with Him from the beginning." You recognize there's this thing that takes place kind of deep in your gut, and you were there in Abel when he was killed by Cain, and you know it. You were there in the ark with Noah and his sons. You were there at every point in time. So when you read about it, it's not, you're not reading history.
And your faith has been tested in the same way since, like.
But it's not just in the same way. You were there.
There's not many.
That was the testing of our faith. Always
been. They without us could not be made. See, that's
there's only one.
Those
right.
Kind of things are they're too high.
They're too high. But you know them in your heart.
Yeah. There's times when we do, like, I guess kind of what you said, when bear witness of a similar thing. I mean, you know that remember the first time we started reading Abraham, it was like that.
Yeah.
Living that with him.
You know, I can talk for days and hours about, and I think I can prove it mathematically in like great diagrams about how all men die at the same instant. And what that means. But it's bullshit. Nobody, I mean, it doesn't communicate to anybody. It causes somebody to be curious, maybe. But when there's a different level of communication when you're talking heart to heart, when you know it doesn't. It bypasses the intellect. It bypasses the mind. It goes straight to your heart, and you know it's true. And you know it's true because it doesn't depend on any machinations of men. It doesn't. God's not going to.
Isn't that the way that the bride is empowered? By knowing?
Yeah.
But knowledge?
This idea of the of time disappearing, and with time gone, then all the brethren throughout time together. And somehow that's the Pentecost place.
It is Pentecost.
When you get
that is it.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, then your mind is freed from this time barrier. And it didn't happen. I didn't see it until just a few minutes ago.
Yeah. Like that. That's what it means. Be transfigured by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
And we will be transfigured.
Yeah.
The moment we see that. Because this is what it means to see that it's finished. And the Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. You were chosen to Him from before the foundation, not in some kind of syrupy, sloppy, agape thing way. You were chosen to Him real before the foundation of the world.
It's not some stupid religious
thing. No. But that's why, again, it's When these moments come upon us, it's like, how could we complain about anything in the universe? How can we be concerned with the slightest thing? We have food and we have clothing and we have shelter. What more do we need? We've got everything in the universe. Now that's, but then, you know, That's the moments, that's the foretaste, that's the essence of the gospel, and that's what sustains us. That's the only thing that's ever sustained us. That's the only thing we ever have in common. Amen?
Mm-hmm. That's the only thing to have. You can have it.
Thou shalt see. Flow together, and thine heart shall fear. But now the fear is kind of a neat fear. You know what I mean? It fears to be in any other position.
Yeah.
It fears again ever to be in that state of seeking for self. We read Hosea's 10 as one of the readings for, I think we scared everybody in the breakfast meeting this morning. Breakfast meetings are interesting. It's a whole different thing.
Only at 7:30.
It's a different, but it's different.
Some days it's rougher on some. Other days it's rougher on.
Some days it's real, really sweet, like a sweet balm. Some days it's real,
like an
tough
ball.
Yelling.
Chaff.
No, like B-A-L-M, like a ball.
I understand the little pun.
I'm just curious, some of us are like the picture words.
More like the clowns.
Yeah. Oh, Red, Scarborough Fair, we almost got you a clown. I mean, a Joker hat.
Thanks.
Appreciate
the thought. It's a correct sir.
We're talking about the mysteries of the universe, and you're talking about the silly little hat.
He's a Bible study teacher.
No, that's the leader.
An elder, a senior elder of the community.
An editor of the Baptist Standard.
On the board of directors.
Right. Vice president.
An officer. First vice president.
Son of a Paris city's matron.
An esquire.
Property owner.
An esquire.
An esquire.
Property owner. Yes. Property owner.
Related to royalty.
Hey, yeah, that's right.
Trace it back. Related to Adam and Eve. Not too many people can say that.
Not too many people would care yet.
Then thine heart shall fear and be enlarged because the abundance, the wealth of the whole world, the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces or the strength of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Me. I mean, you own every damn thing in the universe, and every force in the universe is that you're operating for you. Why are you worried about any little quirky thing?
It's because the Amorites are still with us in Christ.
They're just the only reason. They're declared null and void as the dust of the earth after today.
Many flee.
A multitude of camels shall cover thee. That's all I want.
Boy,
this is mother.
What a
deal.
Who's
a
camel?
The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are those? Who are these that fly as a cloud, and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isle shall wait for me. And the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far their silver and their gold with them unto the name of the Lord thy God, unto the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but now in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night. You understand that the gates, we are the building stones of the New Jerusalem. And we are also the gates. We can open or shut. You understand? Open or shut. You're instantly shut when you think of yourself.
Okay.
Therefore thy gate shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring into thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the palace of my sanctuary, and I will make the place at my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many nations, of generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass, and what it really says here is, for your brass I will bring gold, and for your iron I will bring silver, and for your wood, brass, and for stones, iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time.
Boy, whenever you were reading that, you got the part about the sun shall no more be thy light by day, and the brightness shall no more. And I had never thought about that. When I go out into I have an idea of what I see during the day, and that's what really guides me. I mean, I have obligations that I go and meet, and I never thought about that the light of the Lord would be what guided me in the day, and in the night, you know, that I would live beyond a place where that wouldn't be what even my whatever I do could be different than what it's been. Just reading that, it's been uncomprehendable to even think about something like that. Now it's, to even imagine it is something
different. Yeah, it's like it's one of those kinds of, it's an experience that changes your brain cells forever, because you can't ever look the same way at those things again. Okay, now let's read. Now we can read this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now you remember, all that is predicated on what we just read. I mean, it's the understanding. Then you open the prisons. Not, you don't go start a prison ministry, Chaplain Ray.
Nice too.
Especially with a bad tooth.
Trope. to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast yourselves. For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. For as for the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring before all the nations. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. The Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Amen. Well, that's what I pray, the recognition of that comes to all. This Pentecost. Yeah. Anybody have anything else?
In 8, for I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering.
Well, you hate to make a burnt offering of something that's been, that you, but not yours to give, but robbed.
Yeah.
Anybody have any other thoughts, sir? I don't feel like talking to you.
Take it, big guy.
Take it, big guy.